Well, are you having a love affair? I'm not talking about some romantic attachment to another individual in the physical, emotional sense of the word that we so frequently use when we're talking about a love relationship that we have with another. But I hope, in view of the scripture that has just been read in our hearing, that every one of you are indeed having a love affair. I hope that you're having a love affair with the Word of God. And is that not indeed exactly what is found here in Psalm 119? The psalmist, from the very depths of his being, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Can you say that in verity? Oh, how I love the Word of God. Oh, how I love the Bible. There was a time I can remember from my youth that there was a time when members of the Church of Christ were known worldwide as students of the Word of God. Book, chapter, and verse. How often that was repeated from the pulpits. How often that was repeated in private discussion. How often was that repeated in respectable public debates when the scriptures would be set forth? Where is the book in the Bible, we would ask, we Christians? Where in the Bible is that to be found? What book in the Bible, the Old or the New Testament scriptures? The words of Christ are the words of Moses. What particular chapter is that found in? You see, people of that past generation were interested in knowing what the Bible taught. They were willing to examine the Word of God. Where is that book where that particular item of worship or the work of the church is mentioned? Where, in what chapter? And then, to be even more particular, what verse are you looking at? And in that way, people came to recognize the Bible as being the Word of God, as being the supreme authority in all things religious. I wish that that were still the case today. I wish that it were so that everyone who had the name of Christ on their lips, who would say, "I am a Christian, I have been purchased by the blood of Christ, I am a member of His church that we read of in the Bible. Here is the book, here is the chapter, here is the verse that gives me both knowledge and assurance and promise that is found in the Word of God." I am so saddened to know that in our generation that the love of many has grown cold for the Word of God. But brethren and friends, it ought not to be so among us. It ought not to be so among those of us who meet with regularity at this particular location that it would be said that we've lost our love for the Word of God, or we are no longer wanting to prove every single thing that is said, every single thing that is involved in the work of this congregation. Indeed, all that we stand for, it has to be based upon the love that we have for God's Word. Why love the Bible? I would trust that there would even be some in our audience that would, at this moment, at least in their mind, be issuing a challenge and saying, Brother Tope, you're not talking about our treating the Bible with indifference. You're not talking about the Bible being a book that I will occasionally pick up, or that I would even in a begrudging way, say, well, I have to study, I have to prepare a Bible lesson. Why love the Word of God? And, of course, the very first answer that I have to give to you in sustaining the principle that is set forth this morning is the fact it is the Word of God. The Bible, the whole Bible, from our study of Genesis on Wednesday night to the study of the Word of God right on through the book of Revelation, what I am affirming to you most assuredly this morning is all of it is the Word of God. It is divine. It did not come from the mind of man. It is not a matter of our saying we can treat the Word of God with indifference, because this is simply something that has developed over the ages of time, and it includes a lot of I think so's, and it includes a lot of opinions, and it includes a lot of the habits and the practices of man, and that's the way we come together with this conglomeration that we call the Bible. It is not so. It is not so. Over and over again. Oh, read the book of Isaiah, if you will. Over and over again, that prophet says, thus saith the Lord. It is God who is speaking to us through His Word. And in case you haven't thought of that yet, do you know that your love for the Word of God reflects your love for God Himself? The individual who says, I do not care very much for the Bible, I can take it or leave it. In reality, what you are saying is, I do not care much for God. I can take Him or leave Him. He does not have very much to do with my life. He is not one that I am going to look to whenever I'm in sorrow and when I'm in trouble and when I need direction and when I need help with all of life's problems. Our love for the Word of God reflects our love, your love, and my love for God Himself. Do you know something else that ought to cause God's Word to just be supreme with us, where we say, I love it with all of my being? It's eternal. It's eternal. The Word of God, that is something that will never, ever, ever fade away. Oh, Mankind is just here on earth for a very brief time. We're aware of the shortness of our lifespan. It's even as a shadow. But that word of God endures forever and ever. We did not read this verse in Psalm 119, but I bid you look at verse 89 where he says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled." That means established. Your word is settled in heaven forever, forever. You can depend on the word of God. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. It does not really depend upon the opinions of man. It does not really depend on the fashions or the fads of life. It is that which is going to go on and on as it has for the thousands of years. And it contains all the truth. There is not a single lie. Now, I'm not talking about the devil's lies that we'll find in the Bible. I'm not talking about a false prophet like Balaam. What I am saying is this, that everything that comes from the mouth of God and from His appointed servants, it's all the truth. It's all the truth. When someone challenges you, as our enemies are prone to do, and they say, "Why are you so stuck on the Bible?" You say, "Well, because every single word of it, it's all true. You can believe it all. You read that wonderful Genesis account of creation, which we have been looking at on Wednesday nights." And oh, if you're missing that Wednesday night study, I have to tell you, you're missing so much. We can believe how the heavens and the earth were created. We can believe that there was that first man, Adam, and his wife, Eve, that came from his side. We can believe everything about the flood story, about Jonah, about Jesus and His miracles. It's all true. Every single word of it. I love the Bible because it's able to make me wise. I think I know within myself when I depend on my own wisdom, upon my own education, upon my own understanding, how many, many times over and over again I find out, "Oh, Gene, you were so wrong about that. You did not really understand the truth of that at all." Look again at our text. I have more understanding than all my teachers, verse 99. For your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to be truly wise? Now, I'm talking about the wisdom that you cannot find in our modern educational system. I'm talking about a wisdom that you will not obtain by studying a book of history or a book of ethics or even a book of philosophy. All of the ancient writers of the world that you and I might contemplate, that we might read, that we might spend the hours of our day studying, do you know they do not even begin to compare with the wisdom that is to be found in the Bible. And it's for all of us. I think I have mentioned this to you before. It has been my fortune to oftentimes share the Bible with people who have no education whatsoever. They've never been to school a day in their lives. They cannot read any language. They cannot write any language. But do you know what they can do? They can listen as the Word of God has been read to them. Every person can gain wisdom as they study the Word of God. Well, there's so much more that I think I could say. I'm just going to conclude this part of our lesson. Love the Word of God, because there is coming a time when the Word of God is going to judge you. Did you know that? Even people who disregard the Bible altogether, who perhaps boast about the fact, I've never read the Bible, I hate the Bible, I do not ever want to have it in my house. There are people that way. The Word of God. John 12, verse 48. The words that I have spoken, Jesus our Lord, the words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, dear friends and brother, picture yourself right now. Picture yourself standing before the Lord God in that last great day of judgment. He's a fair God. He is a merciful God. He is a loving God. But you know, He's not going to look at you and say, oh, well, you're so beautiful. Maybe he won't say that to very many of us. Or, well, you know, you really had a tough time in life. He's got a standard. He has a book. You know, he knows everything that's in that book because he wrote it. And that Word of God that we ought to love, it's going to be the standard whereby we will be judged. Depending on our attitude toward the Word of God, we're either going to hear Him say, come ye blessed of my Father, or he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. I want to talk about the practical aspect of loving the Word of God. How do we show our love? How do we go about doing that? We really don't have much trouble in a physical sense of love. We know how we are going to act toward husband or wife or children or the ones that we want to marry. How do we show our love for the Word of God, the Bible? Well, at least in this sense, the same way that we would in the physical relationship. We make the Bible our daily companion. We make the Bible our companion. Verse 93. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Verse 97, it is my meditation all the day. And I hope that at least there are the majority of you that are saying, now, Brother Tope, why don't you use Psalm 1? And so I will. Thank you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the seat of the scoffer, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. His delight. Look at that verse again. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Boy, that's all the time, isn't it? That's all the time. He who loves the Word of God is one that makes it his daily companion. Whenever he is driving along, he does not fill his mind with the mundane of the world. He does not fill his mind with all of the troubles that are in the world. He fills his mind with the Word of God because it is his delight. Reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, even in his speech. The individual who loves the Word of God, his speech will reveal that love, I believe. There's something else that every single person that loves the Word of God will do. Can't keep from it. You couldn't stop him. He wants to share the Bible with others. Oh, I want you to meet my girlfriend. I want you to meet my fiance. I want you to meet my wife or my husband. It is a matter of joy in human relationships. But oh, I tell you, the individuals who just have this love of God's Word burning within them, they say, I want everybody to know it. And do you know where it starts? It starts right at your house. That's where it starts. It starts right at your house. Husbands and wives who love the Word of God, they love to talk about the Bible. They love to share things together and ask one another questions and find just so many delightful things to talk about. Have you read this chapter in the book of Proverbs? I just got through with it. Oh, that wonderful story of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz. They share the love of God with their children. Their children, if they're asked, what does your mommy and daddy do at home? They don't say, oh, mommy and daddy, they quarrel all the time. That's not what they say. They say, Mom and Daddy'd like to talk about the Bible. And you know, my mother and father, they love the Bible so much. Whenever we get through at supper time, my daddy has got the Bible right there by his plate. And before we ever get up to go play or whatever we're going to do, we read from the Word of God. And do you know what we do on Sunday morning? Even if we've had a late Saturday night and it's kind of tough, you know, our Sunday clothes are already laid out, and my folks, they bring us to Bible class. I'm talking about those who love the Bible now. I'm not talking about people whose love for the Word of God is indifferent or has grown cold. I'm talking about how you show, how you demonstrate your love for God. Share the Bible with uncles and aunties and friends. You know, there's something that people have learned about this love for the Word of God. They do not make sharing the Bible with their family a slugging contest. How many, many times when the wife is a Christian or the husband is the Christian, they love the Word of God so much and they love their spouse so much that they say, I want them to see the truth of God's Word. But you don't do it by fighting. Now, there's a difference in defending the Word of God. We'll get to that in a minute. Whenever you have that love for God, you go ahead and let that be reflected in your life, and then you teach that loved one just as often as you can what the Word of God teaches. Not everyone will obey. You know that. Not everybody will have that love for God and His Word that you have. You know that. Learn more of the Bible from others. Raise your hand if you know everything in the Bible. Raise your hand. Well, old Gene's got to pull his hand down. No. It is such a treasure. There are simple things. There are some things that I believe in about 5 or 10 or 15 minutes. If the person is willing, I can tell them what the Bible says they need to do to be forgiven of their sins. If they're honest and if they want to please God, they don't quarrel with that. They don't say, I've done those things already. I'm a churchgoer or I'm this or I'm that. They just say, I want to do what God tells me to do. But you know, whenever we learn from others, we learn from sermons that are preached. I guarantee you, when I present a lesson, I want it to be a learning experience for everyone. We learn from Bible studies. Somebody says, why does the church have a Sunday morning Bible study? Why do we have Bible classes? Why do we have a midweek service? Well, it's because we love the Bible. It's because We want others to be able to learn. Places where I have been and have known of, the Christians like to have home Bible studies. And maybe it will be announced from the pulpit this Friday evening, brother and sister so-and-so are going to have a Bible study at their house. There will be some singing of songs, and we're going to be studying the Bible. Do you know that's what Christians do that love the Word of God? They want to learn from other Christians, and that's what they want to spend their Friday evening doing, studying with others and visiting with others and learning the Word of God. We've got a gospel meeting coming up just this next week, just this next Sunday starting. Different men who have studied the Word of God are going to be presenting their lessons. Do you know what every single person in this audience who loves the Word of God will be doing? They say, I'm going to attend every night that I can. Bring somebody with you, sure. But the success, what is the meeting about? Do you remember the theme that has been chosen? Being a Christian. Being a Christian. What does it mean for you and me to be a Christian? Now, there's a lot of false ideas out there. But you know, these men have been selected, and lesson by lesson, they're going to be talking about a different aspect of what it means in being a Christian. Do you need it? Oh, yes, I need it, and you need it. And if you want to know, at the end of the week, has the meeting been a success? I'm not going to say it's been a success because Chester folks came. I know they will. I'm not going to say the meeting at Courthouse has been a success because folks drove all the way over from West End. I know they will. It's not because they've come from Powhatan or Blackstone or Axton, or any of the other places, but because folks at Courthouse who have said, this is a meeting for the church here. This is for us to learn more about being a Christian. That'll make it a success. That will show our love. Defend the truth. Be ready always. Give a reason for the hope that is within you. Where is that in your Bible? Book, chapter, and verse. Oh, that's 1 Peter 3:15, isn't it? Always be ready. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. And then the following verses 16 and 17 tell us something. If you love the Word of God, you obey it. You do what God says. My advice and my admonition this morning is start your love affair with the Word of God. It's not too late. It's not too late. Start your love affair with the Word of God. Be obedient to it this day and serve Him faithfully.